The book of Numbers, chapter 20. Book of Numbers, chapter 20. Beginning at the first verse. I want to read to you this morning from the New King James Version. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod. You and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, listen very carefully, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Before I go any further, now in this case, I forget to do this to the servant. Look at the last verse. The Lord says to them, to Moses, "Because the children of Israel contended with the Lord." Did he say they contended with Moses?
No.
But they was arguing with Moses, right?
Right.
That verse says they contended with the Lord. Be very careful. They contended with the Lord and was hollow among them. Tag I want to put on this text for us today. God is saying something to us, New Jerusalem. I want to talk to you about divine disappointments. Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about divine disappointments. Divine disappointments. I honestly believe that the scariest Christians in the world are the ones who think they got God all figured out. I am suspect and averse to people who speak definitively about everything about God. I am wary of people who got God in a formula, have God locked in a box, and think with their finite human understanding and their reading of Scripture that they can tell you everything about God. Those people to me have never really read the Bible. Because time and again in the Bible, you encounter a God who will leave you scratching your head. A God who does not always do what you expect a God like that to do. A God whose ways are higher than our ways. A God whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. A God who often does things that makes me wonder what God is up to. I am kind of like God in the Garden of Eden when I wonder, God, why put the tree there to test them? If you created everything, where did that snake come from? I have trouble with God finding Jacob in the wilderness and for no apparent reason breaking Jacob's hip so that now he limps for the rest of his life. I wrestle with God. I read in the book of Job. I wrestle with God in the book of Job, wondering why God would subject Job to all of that Job had to go through. God, for nothing less than a wager with Satan, says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's a whole lot of things I want God to do on my behalf. But one thing I pray God never does is ask Satan, has he considered me? No, God, just leave me alone. I wrestle with God, the God that Paul speaks about, that gives him a thorn in the flesh. And when Paul prays for it to be removed, the only answer God gives him, in my grace is sufficient for you. There are some places in the Bible where me and God don't really work out well, Sister Thomas. One of the places that bothers me the most as a leader in God's people, as a servant of God and God's family, is what happens right here in Numbers chapter 20. I'm disturbed by this, God. Can I give you the background so you don't miss the breakdown? Moses has been leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. They are in that wandering place where for 40 years they have circled around a mountain in the desert. All because God found out that they was not ready. What was ready for them, they were not ready for. Did I make myself clear? Yes. So God sent the children of Israel in a 40-year timeout to get themselves together. And while they are making this wandering wilderness journey, the Bible says they get to a place called Meribah in the wilderness of Zin, an area called Kadesh. It is there that place that Miriam dies. Walk with Pastor. You remember Miriam when Moses was put in the basket down the Nile River. It was Miriam who was there watching over him. When Pharaoh's daughter needed a wet nurse, it was Miriam who recommended Moses' mother. Miriam was there when Moses was called. Miriam assisted and aided Moses just as much as Aaron did, because he needs a sister just as much as he needs a brother. Miriam has been there through all the ups and downs. Everything Moses has experienced, he can rely on Miriam to be his help. The Bible says right here, Miriam dies. Can you imagine the grief Moses is going through at this time? His sister has died. And while he is grieving, watch church folk now, he finds out that these Israelites, these people of God, whom he has been leading while he is mourning, while he is planning the funeral, while he is writing the obituary, they have formed a committee.
All right.
They have put together a partition. And they come to Moses in the midst of his grieving.
Yes.
And the Bible says they quarrel with him.
Yes.
They complain. This is what they say. Moses, why in the world did you lead us all the way out here where there's no water to drink? We should have died where everybody else died. We had it better in Egypt. We told you to leave us alone. No, you had to come here saying, let my people go. We trusted you and followed you. Now we out here about to die in the wilderness. They are complaining with Moses, and Moses goes off. That's right, the man of God goes off. Moses is sick and tired of these people. If you read up until Numbers 20, these are some of the most complaining people you ever want to deal with in your life. Church folk, nothing is good enough for them. Sun too hot, night too cold, water not sweet enough, manna just keep on coming. Quail, we tired of eating quail. Have you ever known somebody that complains about everything? Nothing is good enough. Sermon too long, sermon too short. I don't want to come to Bible study. Why can't I just come to 11 a.m. service? They're always asking us for money in church. They complain about everything, and Moses has had enough.
All right.
So he decides to go to what is called the tabernacle of meeting. That's church. He decides to close, him and Aaron decide to close themselves up in church by themselves without the church. He needs some alone time with God. So he and Aaron go to see God. They fall down on their face. And the Bible says, church leaders, the glory of the Lord shows up. When you spend some time alone, I like it when I spend some time alone with God. When I'm dying out and nobody else can help me, I get alone with God. And guess what? God will show up. Because he will not forsake or leave you. He said it in his word. All you got to do is call on it. That's called the prayer closet. Get in the prayer closet, call on the Lord, and he will answer. Thank you, Jesus. The glory of the Lord shows up. God descends, and Moses tells God what is going on. These folk are getting on my nerve. They want some water. God says, Moses, relax. I got it. Go outside, talk to the rock, and it will give you its water. Listen carefully. The Lord tells Moses, go talk to the rock, and the rock will give you water. Okay. You missed two crazy things just now. Number one, you don't talk to rocks, because rocks don't talk back. And God says, when you talk to the rock will give you its water. You just missed the second crazy thing. Rocks don't have water. But sometimes, Deacon Frodo, God calls you to do what seems crazy in the eyes of somebody else. So that God can yield what you have never experienced before. Help me, Jesus. Don't talk to the rock, Moses. Moses goes outside and he is mad. He looks at the people and says, listen here, you rebels. I'm sure he didn't want to say rebels. That's a nice, the Bible put that in a nice way. And I just believe that it is a biblical way of covering up what he really said. You rebels, how long we have to bring your water out? How long do we have to bring you water out of this rock? Okay, we, okay. The Bible says that God told Moses to speak. Speak. Moses is mad. He disobeys. He takes his staff in his hand and hit the rock. Not one time, Reverend, not twice. I learned, Deacon Frodo. Don't let church folk make you mad. Because they cause you to miss your promised land experience. Just do what God called you to do. You may not like it. Just do what God called you to do. Let God work it out. And he will move. Swiftly and quickly.
Yes, he will. Wait on the Lord.
He's supposed to speak to the rock. He hit the rock. In blatant disobedience. And the water still came out. You just missed your shot. Because even when you are not faithful to what God called you to do, God is so faithful that he fulfills promises.
Yes, he does.
Even when we are disobedient and have not done what God has called us to do. Some of you ought to just, if you don't want to say amen, then you ought to win.
Amen.
Or y'all ain't feeling me. Can I make it applicable then? Since y'all not feeling me. James, when the choir don't want to show up for choir rehearsal, or they cannot, and you come to church on Sunday, 11 o'clock, and you still sing good, ain't got nothing to do with what y'all can do.
That's right.
Had nothing to do with y'all ability. God say, I'm faithful to the people that's coming. Y'all been showing for choir rehearsal, but guess what? I'm still going to be faithful and use y'all to bless somebody. Can I make myself plain? Because I decided I want to study, and I won't dare. Because I can't do it. Reverend, I decided I couldn't read the Bible this week and get up on Sunday morning, I wasn't there. God said, guess what? It wasn't their fault because you were unfaithful.
That's right.
And don't you dare think it's all about your ability. If you sound so good or look so good or you read something so good that I'm going to make you look good in front. It ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm faithful to my people, but I'm going to deal with you.
Yeah.
Because guess what? what? Y'all may think it's all going on good. But in the individual that's got the gift that God is using, we know we ain't meeting God's mark. God lets us know you are far from the mark. You study to show yourself approved. Workmen need not be ashamed.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I've seen good singers lose their voices.
That's right.
Be obedient to God, leaders. Do not be a divine disappointment to God. Y'all think I'm not in the book. Listen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even in your disobedience, water still flows. Okay. Seems like all is well. And then God shows up. And says, you and Aaron, come here. I don't want to be called and come from God on this like this. He pulls them to the side. And this is what God says. Because of that right there, you're not going into the promised land. The Lord restricts Moses and Aaron from going into the promised land because Moses hit a rock. Y'all, this just don't seem right.
Well.
If anybody should get a pass, it should be Moses.
Yeah.
Look at everything Moses has done for God.
Yes, Lord.
Moses put his life on the line for God.
Yeah.
Moses jeopardized his family for God. Yeah. Moses led these people, these stiff-necked people, in the wilderness for God. These were the Bible called stiff-necked Israelites. These people are so bad, even God wanted to kill them. God, how are you going to get mad at me for being mad at some folk you wanted to kill? You know, these rebels. Why would God prevent Moses from entering the promised land, watch this y'all, that God told Moses he would lead the people into? This just does not seem fair. God, please don't tell me that Moses doesn't get in because he got angry. Because if anger causes divine disappointment, we all in a lot of trouble. Lord, please don't tell me Moses is not getting into the promised land because church people got on his nerves. Because if church people get on your nerve, make God upset, we all in a lot of trouble. God, how can you prevent your chosen one? What was Moses' crime? What did Moses do that made God to disappoint? So disappointed.
Yes.
It bothered me, y'all. I had to wrestle with it. The Lord showed me it is not about him being angry. It was not about people getting on his nerves. There were some other reasons in what happens here that makes God disappointed in God's chosen. And God's chosen to definitely ain't me. God chose each and every one of y'all to do something. All y'all coming here claiming y'all going to do something for God, and the next week y'all lacking on it. Y'all can't be faithful in nothing. You can't show for nothing. You always got something going on, something more important. You need to get your priorities right.
Okay.
It just ain't the pastor. It's God. But and drop him a dime, you praying to God to fulfill a prayer for you.
Yes.
But you think you got no responsibility. It comes a time in all our lives that God requires all of us to do what we said we're going to do or do what he asked us to do.
Yes.
He said his yoke is easy.
Yes.
And his burden is light. That means it ain't hard for you. He ain't going to give you no assignment that you can't do.
All right.
But you let stuff around you and people around you distract you from doing what God asked you to do, and then you still want to be blessed. Oh, okay. Watch what he does to Moses. Y'all not follow me. I'll try it again. Moses gets angry. This is the first thing. Let me slow this roll. This is the first thing. This is the very first shows up. Remember what happened? The people complain. Moses gets mad and goes off. Moses goes into the tent of meeting in the sanctuary. The glory of the Lord shows up.
Yes.
Moses leaves mad. Y'all not following me. I'll try it again. Moses gets angry, goes into the tabernacle of meeting. He's upset. The glory of the Lord shows up and he leaves after the glory of the Lord shows up mad. Let me make it plain for y'all. He is mad when he goes to the house of God. The glory of the Lord shows up and he leaves the house of the Lord as angry after the benediction as he was before the call to worship. Y'all follow? I said so, did I? Part of God's anger with Moses is this. How can you dwell in my glory and leave the same way after my glory that you were before you came in? How can you come to church mad and leave mad? How can you come nasty and leave nasty? How can you be in God's presence, coming with a bad attitude and leave with a bad attitude? For all of that, you should have stayed at home. How can you dwell in the presence of the glory of God and not be transformed? Not be changed. Not have nothing happen to you. It's a shame to come into the glory of the Lord and the only him you know is I shall not be moved. I'm not going to think amen. I'm not going to think amen. I'm not going to say amen. I'm not touching my neighbor like the pastor asked me. I ain't doing none of that. I don't even want my neighbor to touch me. I don't care what the pastor says. I don't care about what the choir sing. I'm going to sing it because I'm mad. Then the glory of the Lord shows up and you still leave mad. Still with no change in your life. God says, here's the problem. When you enter my presence, when you're in my glory, and you know that my dwelling is in the place, you ought to open your heart and expect that I'm going to change, that I'm going to make a change and even change you. Because when you truly come to worship God, he will change your mind. He will change your heart. He will change your attitude. He will change your perspective. He will change your disposition. He will change you in his presence. There's nothing worse than encountering church people on Monday who are the same way as they were on Friday. Let me ask you something. I don't want to offend you. But if you're going to come to church every week, still have a bad attitude, still opening your mouth, and nothing comes out of your mouth but filth and garbage, still mean and nasty to folk. Wow. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to offend you. Mm-hmm. But please, do me a favor. Don't tell me you tell them you're a member of New Jerusalem.
Okay.
Don't you tell them you come over here, because the expectation is when you dwell or come here in this place and worship at any church, this God and hear his word and give him your praise, that your life ought to be changed. Something about you ought to let people know you have been around God. You can't really be around God and not absorb some of this. You can't hear about this God every week and still walk around in doubt. You can't hear the praises of God and never think amen. Something about this ought to saturate in you after a while. When you come to church and truly get close to God and worship, there ought to be some things about you that ought to let your neighbor know, your friends know, your co-workers know that you've been with God. The Lord is disappointed, divinely disappointed, when we have the audacity to come to worship, but not the courage to allow worship to change us. There are some things you should leave in church. Moses comes into the sanctuary. The glory of the Lord shows up. He leaves mad. He hits the rock. Let me tell you what the second problem is. Watch this now. When Moses tells the Lord, the people are complaining. God doesn't get mad.
Right.
He didn't get mad. Y'all notice that he said, relax, Moses, I got it. There are other instances where we clearly see where God is upset with the Israelites.
That's right.
There's one moment where God tells Moses, step out of the way. I'm about to kill them all.
That's right.
Moses stands in front and intercedes and says, God, don't do that, because if you do that, the Egyptians will know.
Yes.
And they will say, you could not do it. We have seen God mad with the Israelites before.
Yes.
God does not get mad here.
No.
As a matter of fact, God tells Moses, don't sweat it. Don't sweat this. I got this.
Got it.
Go talk to the rock.
Talk to the rock.
Step out of the way and watch me move. God tells Moses how to handle it. No, I will kill them, curse them. He didn't say that. Simply go talk to the rock, get out of the way, and watch me do what I do. When Moses goes outside, he is angry. Okay, the bad thing, Brother Anderson, watch this now. He is angry. Here's the problem. God was not angry.
Yes.
But Moses is still angry.
Yes.
Can I push this?
Go ahead, Beth.
The issue is that the children of Israel, listen to this, listen now, listen to the time we're in. We're in Israelite time. We're in Old Testament. The children of Israel, at this point, do not and cannot go to God for themselves.
Uh-huh.
Y'all right?
All right.
The only way they know what God has said is through Moses. Stay with me. So God is not angry. But Moses comes out of church angry. And when the people see Moses angry, they believe God is angry.
Right.
Yes.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. Bad problem.
Yes.
Because Moses and his life failed to bear real, true witness to what God actually said. Part of the reason God is disappointed Moses and us is when our lives do not bear true witness to who he is in the presence of those who don't know him for themselves.
Yes.
That's why you can't ask nobody to come to church with you, because the way you're living all week.
Yes.
Why are you going to go to church with you? Or the church you serve in, or the church you go to. Because whatever you're doing, what you acting like all week, it going there on Sunday ain't helping you.
Yeah.
You're sending a bad witness on God. Yeah. Check it out now.
Yes. My God.
Jesus.
These are people you meet every day. You don't know who don't know God. Who have never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Who have never cracked open a Bible, who never set foot in a church or your church.
Yes.
And God says your life is supposed to be a witness of what you heard in the church.
Yes.
So that those out there will know who I am.
All right.
And what a shame for you to live in such a way that people don't know God or desire to want to know him. So you live your life condemning this group, this person, that church, that pastor, or this church to hell. Your mind is so reprobated you can't see your own faults.
Yes.
If they were slapping you in the face.
Yes.
You can't see that everyone you talk to trying to justify your inability to be what God has called you to be. You're revealing to them that you really who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
God told me to tell you that does not reflect God. God says you live your life judging people for what they do, but I've been merciful to you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to restrict you from entering into your blessing.
Uh-huh.
Y'all heard that, huh?
Yes.
I said it is in the book.
Yes, it is.
I expect your life to bear witness to the message of God in your daily living so that people who don't know the Lord can see God in you. God is disappointed with us when our witness does not match his word.
Yes.
When our life does not mirror his love. When our message to the world does not reflect his mercy to us.
Yes.
How can you want God to put somebody else in hell when God overlooked everything in your life?
Yes.
With all the love God has poured on me, the only thing I should be a witness to is the world is the love of God.
Yes.
Moses heard God say, I got it. He came out proclaiming God is mad with you. It made me wonder at what point did Moses feel he had to add something to what God had already said.
All right.
At what point do we need to flavor what God's already said with our own stuff?
Uh-huh.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yes.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. do y'all want motherfuckers shut up? Romans 8, 28. All things don't work together.
Yes.
For the good. That don't need nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
The worst one is this. One is, when God looks at Moses, read the indictment now. I'm in the book. Read the indictment. I'm going to let y'all wait and watch it. He reads the indictment, Sister Angela. Moses right here in verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you should not bring this assembly into the land which I give them. Okay? The Hebrew word for holy is hallowed. You did not hallow me. You heard the word hallowed before.
Yes.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Yes.
Hallowed literally means to separate.
Uh-huh.
Y'all got that?
Yes.
God says to Moses, I'm mad at you because you did not separate me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean I did not separate you? Moses, you did not separate me from you.
That's right.
So people can see me and not you.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Moses, here's the problem. You did not step out of the way so people could see me. How did Moses fail to hallow God?
Come on now, say it, Pastor. Tell us.
Here it is, right in the book.
Yes.
Moses comes out, hits the rock, and this is what he says. How long do we have to bring you water?
We have
to bring you water. How long do we have to get you water, you rebels, out of this rock? I know it don't say it, but it should say, God looked at him and said, who is we? Because we are not making water come out of the rock. If water comes out of this rock, we ain't got nothing to do with it. If water comes out of this rock, it's only because there's a God in heaven who can make a way out of nowhere. God is able to take care of you in dry places. God opened up doors in your life. How dare you see water out of the rock and say we? I know some people that weren't doing good. You have a phone latch. Last year they got the hookup. They always on vacation. They always doing this, always in shopping here. But the year before last, they had the poem out.
Yes.
But now. If I say y'all come to church, I like I cursed that down.
Okay.
But see, you got a weak complex going.
Yes. Yes.
Because I never shall forget.
Yes.
If it had not been for the Lord's establishment on my side, I'm very cognizant that me myself, I can do nothing. But in Jesus and through Jesus, I can do all things. And if it don't look good, he'll make it good. I didn't get no weak complex, King. Comes a moment when the things that are happening in your life that you know you have nothing to do with it. You need to step out of the way and allow people to know it's not my hand. I know it looked like, remember last time I got this thing all burned out. I come in and I dress good, but guess what? You don't know the struggles I got to make right now. If it had not been for the Lord. Work.
Yes.
It's not my mind.
Yes.
But it happened because I serve a God
yes.
who is able to make ways out of nowhere.
Yes.
This is not weak. This because you know how to pray. Just like God teach you how to pray.
Yes, he is.
You don't have time to call on him. He'll put you in a circumstance and a situation that all you can say is, help me, Lord.
Yes.
He will make you get real good at praying. He don't have to teach me how to pray. I will call on him when I don't need him. Y'all heard it. Yeah.